has the ability itself to bring the Geula. Much of what I will be saying will either be quoting explicitly or will be inspired by things that I have read, that I've heard in person, that I've heard on tape, and with recent technology have watched online from, of course, the one who was most influenced in really transforming the entire experience of Tisha B'Av into a more meaningful one. I know in some of the tapes that I've heard in the past, Rabbi Weinreb indicated this more than once as well, and that, of course, was our Soloveitchik, what he did in Boston all of those years, which has really had a ripple effect in current year, recent years through many communities in America, and he will be quoted certainly regularly today. More directly, my primary, if you will, Tisha B'Av Rebbe, someone who I got to hear in person in Manhattan numerous times, as well as a number of years, including this year on the tapes, was Rabbi J.J. Schachter. And of course, both in tapes 3 and 4 years ago, as well as this year, through the use of the OU website, Rabbi Weinreb himself, as well as in tapes, a two-tape series that was put out by Rabbi Reisman on comments that he made on keynotes a few years ago. I also want to thank some of the people who were involved most in helping me find sources that I was looking for, especially esoteric sources, as well as helping with the source booklet. First, a very good friend of mine and a distinguished Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, who's one of the senior librarians at Yeshiva University's library. I want to thank our very own Rabbi Shlomo Shulman, who helped me procure two different sources. And as I mentioned last night, his daughter and my dedicated secretary, Bracha Shulman, and a number of her siblings who were very involved in helping make the source sheets. I thank the Gaboim for all of their work today, as well as Eli Lassen for his help with the technology. This is not being webcast simultaneously, but it is being recorded by an MP3 player, and at approximately 2:15, for those who are interested or for those who are not here now, you will be able to access all of our commentary and keynotes on the Shomrei website. Our schedule for this morning is that I would like, as is the practice in many communities, including in some of the tapes that I heard from Rabbi Weinreb in years past, to give an introductory mini shiur, which is actually not connected to any of the particular keynotes, but rather focuses on an underlying theme of the day of Tisha B'Av. We'll then take a 1 or 2 minute break, and then we'll begin with the keynotes themselves. If you turn towards the second page on your source sheet, that's the inside of the first page. Again, beginning with the staple on the top right-hand corner, you have on your right side the famous Gemara in Maseches Yuma, which tells us what the causes were for the respective two Chorbanos. So the Gemara says, where I have it underlined at the two dots, Mikdash Rishon, Mipnei Ma Acharav, why was the first temple destroyed? Mipnei Shlosha Devarim Shahiyu Bo. There were three primary Averos, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gili Arayos, sexual morality, Veshfichos Damim, and murder. The Gemara then goes on to list a number of psukim, or proof texts, that demonstrate how the presence of each one of those Averos at the time of the first Churban, and that was the cause. If you'll skip down now all those wide lines until where I have it next underlined, the Gemara continues after that brief aside, and now continues into the second Churban. Aval Mikdash Sheni, Shayu Oskin Batorah, Uve Mitzvos, Kumilas Chasadim. But in the second door, and obviously the implication here is that none of the Averos, none of the maladies that plagued the earlier generation apparently were plaguing the first generation. On the contrary, they were a righteous community. So what caused the Churban? The Gemara tells us, Mipnei Macharav, Mipnei Shehai Sabao Sinas Chinum. Because there was baseless or gratuitous hatred between Jews. And the Gemara draws the obvious but nevertheless amazing conclusion. L'lamedcha, this comes to teach us, Sheshkula sinas chinam keneged shalosh averos avodah zarah gili arayos v'shichus damim. If in the first generation those three cardinal averos had the ability to cause the churban, so the very fact that in the next generation it was sinas chinam, apparently on some level, at least in terms of its destructive nature, sinas chinam is tantamount to the cardinal three, the big three averos. The Gemara then continues. It's actually the later Achronim point out that there seems to be a little bit of a textual mistake, because this line should really have been attached before we got into the second Chorban, because it really goes to the first Chorban. This is after you have the little parentheses. The Gemara says, Rasha'im hayu, they were evil. Again, there it's going back now, it's referring to the time of the first Chorban. Rasha'im hayu, but there was a certain schus that they had. Elishatalu bitchonam b'hakadosh baruch hu. They placed their trust, they had bitachon in their Ribbono Shel Olam. This is an idea which we'll get back to, Mirtz Hashem, in a little while. Now, if you skip down to the next part, where I have underlined, the Gemara goes through a somewhat morbid conversation. Which was worse, or if you will, which generation was better? Right? We're ranking them. Which Churban was worse? So first, the Gemara tells us, Rishonim shenizgala avonam nizgala kitzam. The first generation whose averos were revealed. What does it mean to be revealed? So Rashi tells us that these averos, the murder, the idolatry, that was out in the open. Everyone knew about that. But similarly, because of that, the limit of their galus, meaning the geula, the fact that 70 years later they got to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that was also true. Achronim shelo niskalu avonam. In the latter generation where it was not clear what their averos were, in fact, a famous Gemara in Nedarim says how they, which is based on the psukim that were just read at the end of the Haftorah, Shalos Chachavim, they asked the Chachamim what was the cause, the Yavin Azos who understands the Churban, and they didn't know, and that's what the Gemara says there, that there was a different source, that they didn't make the Berachas HaTorah, they didn't appreciate Torah, but that, or the Sinas Chinam, that was something that was private, it wasn't something that was known. And because of that, lo nisgala kitzam, their end, meaning when will this galus, which has still not yet ended, when will that end? That was never told to anyone. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, he gives a metaphor where he wants to show that the first generation, the generation of Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damin, and Avodah Zarah, it was even a better generation than the second one. Then the Gemara responds from Reish Lakish, but maybe the second generation was better, because there they were being persecuted by the Romans, and they were still learning. So the Gemara concludes, and what's relevant for us from Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lei, Bira Tochiach, the presence and or absence of the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that it was rebuilt for the first Chorban, but never rebuilt for the second Chorban, that demonstrates that the earlier generation was superior. Shechazor l'rishonim v'lo chazor l'achronim. It never was returned to the second generation, the one that caused the Churban Sinas Chinam. Or a parallel discussion, the Gemara says, Shalos Rabbi Eliezer, Gedolim o Achronim, who was greater? Gedolim, who was greater? So the Gemara answers, Amar Lahem, Tnu Einechem Bebira. Look and see. Look at the building. Was the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt? It was only rebuilt the first time. Or a final variation of this, Agade Amri, Amar Lahem, Eidechem Bira. Your witnesses are the temple. Again, the same idea. The fact that the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt after the first Churban is indicative of the fact that despite the fact that one might have thought, if you will, on paper, that the big three of Averos are just that. They're the big three. How can anything be considered worse? Nevertheless, a generation that was so mired in those three that caused the Churban were nevertheless on some level higher or greater than the generation just not that long afterwards that were mired in Sinas Chinam, which ultimately brought the second Churban, which has not yet been rectified. If you turn your attention to the left side of your sheet, I want to focus for a moment just briefly on what is the simple understanding of Sinas Chinam, and then move to two more innovative definitions and understandings. And again, I want to focus particularly on the Churban Sheni, and not that there isn't what to learn from the Churban Rishon, but especially since, as the Gemara says, it was the worst of the two, and of course, most obviously, because we are still suffering and experiencing that Churban. So what is Sinas Chinam? So the simple understanding, which I think is very likely a correct understanding, is what I would refer to as the way kids can be mean to each other at the playground. We were mean to each other. You cut in line, maybe you stole, maybe you talked Lashon Hara about somebody. You were simply mean-spirited, you were unfriendly, sinas chinam. This simple understanding is highlighted perhaps by two texts. If you look at the left side, you'll see the Yerushalmi, the parallel text in the Yerushalmi. And you have to understand, the Yerushalmi was written in Yerushalayim. And it wasn't written much after, right? That's why it's the Talmud Yerushalmi. These were the Chachamim from Yerushalayim, from Eretz Yisrael. And this was not much afterwards. So look at the opening of this Gemara. It's a parallel to our Gemara. And the Gemara says, top of the first line, Shelo charav habayis barishona el shayu ovei akum umagalia rayas shofam damin. When it came years earlier to the first korban, it was for the big three of Eros. Avo b'sheni makirin ono osam. We knew them, and they weren't such bad people. Shahayu yegiin b'torah. They were dedicated Torah students. Zehirin b'mitzvos. They were careful in general mitzvos. Uba maisros, and keeping the mitzvos atoyis b'aretz. V'chol v'eses tova, as the Mefarshim explained, all good midos. They had alamailas haisa behen. But what was the problem? So here's an interesting addition which we don't have in our Talmud Bavli. Treyov and Esamamon. They were overly materialistic. And then the more direct parallel to our Gemara, Vesonin Elu Le'elu, Sinaskanum, which I think is even a sharper formulation than our Gemara, our Bavli. And I think it highlights this simple understanding. They hated each other. Pshuto Kemashmo. They hated each other. If you look right above that, I have the text of a Medrash. This comes from the Art Scroll Tisha B'Av Handbook, and the reason I have it Xeroxed from there is because despite the fact that on the bottom of this it gives you the quote of Midrash in Eicha 1:21, I must have spent no less than an hour or two looking in every version of the Midrashim that I could find, and it's never there. So I don't know where this Midrash is. The author of this book is a distinguished and well-known Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Feuer, who at the time was in Miami, now is in Muncie, Rav Gifter Zatzal's son-in-law, a very distinguished Talmud Chacham in his own right. And if I'd had the time, I would have called him to try to find out where this is. So if anyone can locate this in a primary text, please let me know. But since he quotes it, and I assume therefore it exists somewhere, just probably the text that he had a different numbering system, I'll read it to you from him. And it's a very vivid imagery that he describes. That the Medrash describes. Belel Tisha B'Av Nichnas Avram Avinu Lebayis Kodesh HaKadoshim. I don't know if it meant the year of the Churban, but perhaps in some later year, Avram was walking around what was the former Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av. Achsu HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yado V'Hava Metayel Bo Aruchos U'Kazaros. The Rabbonu Shalom, as it were, took him by the hand, and they took a shpatzir, they were walking around the desolate Harabayis and the Makom HaChurban. Amar Lei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka. Maladidi Bebesi. What brings you here? What are you doing here, Avram? Amar, so Avram responds, Ribonai, Banai, Heichanheim, where are my children? Where are all the Yidden? Amar Lei, Hashem responds to him, Chatu, they had sinned, Higlisem Beina Umos, and they have been now sent into Golos, they are dispersed among the nations. Amar Lei, Avram responds to him, Lo Hayu Behem Tzadikim? What does that remind us of? Sodom. This is Avram. If he can fight for Sodom, he should be able to fight for his own children. Weren't there tzaddikim who, in whose merit could have staved off the Churban? Amar Lei, the Rabbanu Shalom responds, and there's two versions of his response. Hayu smeichin b'mapolosum elu al elu. Each one took gratification. They rejoiced in the downfall of their other, of their friend, of their neighbor. Or the other version, hayu sonin zeh. Cuts to the chase. But either one of the versions make the same point that Yerushalmi makes. It's a simple understanding of Sinas Chinam. Pashut, they hated each other. They were mean-spirited, unfriendly people. The first of the innovative and more original and non-standard approaches I want to share with you comes from the great Gaon, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, the famous author of the Baal Urim V'Tumim on Shulchan Aruch Yerideya. And he has, he was a well-known darshan, and they collected his drushos in a two-volume work called Yaros Dvash. So in Chelek Aleph Drush Yud, he alludes to a different understanding of what Sinas Chinam was in the time of the Sakeh Churban. If you look here, it's a short little paragraph. He says, Iker, ma sheneamar shesonim ze'edzeh. Perhaps he's referring to the Yerushalmi by using that Lashon. Perhaps he knew the same Medrash that Rabbi Feuer knows. I'm not sure. But he says, the Lashon Mamash, you say they hated each other? Lo ame ha'arotzos ze lo ze. It does not mean that just every common man or woman hated their neighbor, the person they did carpool with, or anyone else that they knew from the block, which is what we've been assuming until now. Rather, rak ame ha'arotzos l'talmidei chachamim. What was the sinas chinam here? That there was a general resentment and hatred by the entire, more or less, populace, the hamonam, to the leaders, to the Rabbanim, and to the Chachamim. Fascinating. Some things never change. And this, says Rav Jansen Eibschitz, that was a sinas chinam. The way he develops it, it seems that he thinks that that caused the breakdown of society, as we should understand. From Avazat Tamir Chachamim, it's going to lead to a breakdown in the Jewish society. And once there was a breakdown and the Rabbanim were no longer in position to be effective leaders, then that might have led to the other sinas chinam. In fact, that's one of the answers that's suggested. We mentioned last night that Bar Kamsa was so upset. There were Rabbanim at the party. V'lo michubei, Bar Kamsa said. And how come the Chachamim didn't say anything? So it's taka, good question. We didn't get into that last night. But one of the answers that's given is by the time that story happened, the Rabbanim had been so reduced that they were no longer in a position of authority. They may have been Chachamim. The fact that you're ridiculed does not mean that you lose all your Torah. They were still great Chachamim. But they no longer were in their position of authority. They had been so ridiculed and so taken down by the people that they weren't in a position. So that's an answer that's suggested. And that would, of course, fit in well with this Yaros Tavash. He actually adds, just to give you a shocking marmakom, he ends with Ba'amram, as it says, the Gemara in Psachim Mem Tesom and Beis, Ba'an Shechenu Kachamor. I would bite them like a donkey. Who knows what that's referring to? Right? We'll mention Rabbi Akiva later. Of course, we know the great Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the ultimate Baal Tshuva. Rabbi Akiva lived already an adult life, almost, or certainly a middle-aged life, before he knew any Torah. And he reflected that not only was he an Am Aretz, was he an ignoramus in his earlier life, he hated the Rabbanim. He had resentment towards those who learned Torah, and he said his hatred was such that he would have bitten them like a donkey. So says Rabbi Dennis and Eibschitz, you see there's such a phenomenon that very often people who don't have Torah are resentful of people who do. That's the sinas chinam that he suggests. I now want to use the rest of our time in this introductory shiur to focus on the shita itself, and then perhaps add a layer of understanding to that shita of what I think is somewhat well known, but perhaps not all of the sources here, and not how we will hopefully develop it, a very significant chiddush in the concept of sinas chinam, which was originally suggested by the Netziv Mivolozhin of Talitz Yehuda Berlin. And it is quoted, I have it here for you in your sources, in four different places in his writings. I have a fifth source here, which is a story, which is quoted about him in this context as well. And last night, I found, although I haven't had a chance to look it up, but I found quoted a fifth source, that of the Merome Sada, the Netziv's Chidush HaMashas, where apparently the Gemara in Yuma, on the Gemara we just read, he might have mentioned it also. That's not on your sheet. But there are four primary sources and a fifth secondary source that I have on this sheet going over to the next sheet, in which in various forms the Netziv hammers away and repeats the same Chiddush, the same original understanding of Sinas Chinam. And I want to start by reading the first one, which is perhaps the most famous of the texts, and then just quickly allude to two or three of the other ones, and then read the last one inside because it's also very powerful. So the first text I want to read is on the right-hand side of your page, and it comes from the introduction to his Perush on Sefer Bereishis. The Netziv, as many of you know, wrote a commentary on Chumash called Hameg Dovar. In addition to the brilliant insights in the Perush itself, the Netziv is also well known. He wrote some very important and significant introductions, psichos, to each one of the Sfarim, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And perhaps the most well-known of the five is his Psicha to Sefer Bereishis. He discusses, again, I won't get into it now, why in certain traditions Bereishis is known as Sefer HaYashar. What does it mean to be a Yashar? And in that context, he makes the following comments. This is where I have it underlined on the right-hand side. Mipnei sinas chinam shebelibam zu et zu. So if he stopped right there, we'd say, oh, sinas chinam, regular hatred. Or if we were from Yubianis and Eibschitz camp, we'd say they hated the Rabbanim. But the Netziv goes in his own new third direction. Namely, Chashtu esmi shera'u shenoheg shelo kedosam b'yiras Hashem shehu tzeduki v'api karis. As the Netziv makes clearer later and in the other parallel texts, this is among two what we would call frum people, two orthodox people. But one person shakes the lulav in the sukkah before coming to shul. One person says, no, you have to shake the lulav right before halal. It's a din to be saimech to the nanuim. One person waits 6 hours because you can't wait any less. She shows. Another person says, no, only into the 6th hour. Or another person says, no, 5 hours and 31 minutes. Forget the 3 hours and the 1 hour and the half an hour. I mean, all these different shitas. So one person would see another person doing something differently. And the implication is that it was at least perceived as, quote, more lenient. And instead of just understanding there's different traditions, there's different poskim, there's different shitas, they looked at the person who was doing something differently than them, and they said, Kaifer, Apikaris, or to use what was the real historical period that was going on, this was the time period of the Prushim and the Tzedukim. So the Prushim were the loyal ones, were descendants of the Prushim, and the Tzedukim were those who were rebellious. They looked at someone and said, you're a Parish. You're a Parish that, look, you're a Tzeduki. And then he says an amazing and astounding thing. I think even people who know this Hamik Dover forget that the continuation of it. It wasn't just religious intolerance. What did the religious intolerance lead to? And this is a chiddush which is alluded to perhaps in a Gemara, but you don't see this in too many other sources but this Netziv. He says it wasn't, we say sinas chinam in the second Chorban. He says it wasn't just sinas chinam. The sinas chinam of religious intolerance that he just described, ba'u al yidei zeh lidei shvichus damim. Once you hated the person and you thought that he was a tzeduki, so the Medina de Gemara, what's the halacha? Moridin veino malin. You're allowed to kill a heretic in certain situations. So they were killing people. They came to Shvichas Damim B'derech HaFloga in an amazing and astounding way. Ulakol HaRa'osh of Olam. This religious intolerance had a domino effect that led to all the terrible things in the world, including murder, and climaxed in Ad Shecharav HaBayis. Unbelievable Kiddush. It wasn't just that they hated each other, they were mean to each other, they told jokes behind their back. It was a different type of hatred. It was religious intolerance. If you look right beneath that, in the footnotes to the Hamek Dover, they're called Harchev Dover, they're slight expansions. So in Bamidbar, the Netziv repeats this idea, and there he adds the following I'll just paraphrase it for you, you can look at it inside as I'm making the comments. He makes the following striking addition, I think. He refers to this phenomenon as Shvichas Damim Beheter. Because of the religious intolerance, they were more heter. They told themselves it was okay to then commit murder. Of course, the Netziv doesn't think it was mutter. Of course, it was terrible. But you can even kill beheter in your own mind. Or if you look on the left-hand side on the bottom of the page, again, the third time in Chumash that the Netziv makes this point as well, he refers to it as Shvichas Damim L'Shem Shamayim. They thought they were sincere. Tzeduki, Tzeduki, Apikiris. In our generation, what would we say? Reform. Chalila, but that's, I think, what that would be the parallel. Krum. Shagetz. We all know, unfortunately, epithets that we could add in. That type of, again, and we're not talking about someone who really even was that far removed from tradition. We mean someone who just had a different, they were a little different. And let's just say, as the Netziv implies in other sources, maybe it wasn't, as I said before, that they had different legitimate shitas. Listen, not everyone's perfect. Right? None of us are. They were basically from Torah Jews, and they were lax in area X or Y. But they didn't just look at it and say, this is a good person with a fault. They looked at him and they shechted him. First figuratively, Tzeduki, and Chalila ultimately, literally. If you turn over the page, you have what I think perhaps is one of the most amazing compliments to this. And as I say, I'm not sure, I know that the Psicha Tibratius is somewhat well known. I'm not sure if either of the Harchev or the Hamik Dover we've seen is so well known. In this little paragraph coming from a tshuva of the Netziv also is a great posek, and he has tshuvas called Meshiv Davar. So there's a very lengthy tshuva that he has. This tshuva is famous for the following theme, although I'm not sure if people realize that tucked into this very lengthy tshuva is the paragraph I have xeroxed for you. The tshuva, which is in Chelek Aleph, Sura Mem Dalet, is the following. The theme is unbelievable. For those who are familiar with it, I'll just review. There was a journal and a group of people that were known as the Machzike Hadas. And this name is still existing in certain communities to this very day. And if you know about the communities that are calling themselves Machzike Hadas, that's how they were back then as well. This was the most extreme, kanayish, insular part of the Orthodox community, which is what that's why they called themselves Machzike Hadas, though they sustained the religion. So the author of this journal had the following suggestion. He was worried about what was going on, late 19th century, everything's going on around them. They wanted to voluntarily separate themselves, if you will, ghettoize themselves, insulate themselves to protect themselves from the influences, not of the Goyim, of the other Jews. And he has this proposal in this widely distributed journal. And then Netziv read this proposal, and he wrote this tshuva to the editor of the journal to lash out with extreme passion about how terrible he thinks such a suggestion is. And it's unbelievable. The beginning of the tshuva, he writes, because this is how the author, the editor of that journal had written, there are yaminim, smoliim, and emtsaim, right? The more things change, the more they stay the same. There's the right, there's the left, and there's the center. And the Tziv makes it clear that he's talking about within the from world. So the Tziv, as I say, has this very strong, the whole tshuva, it's like 8 pages. And I thank Shlomi Shulman for providing me a copy of the tshuva. Just to give you a sense, I want to mention parenthetically, you wonder how significant this tshuva is to this very day. A few months ago, I was in New York at the RCA convention. Perhaps the highlight of the whole convention was what they called a plenary session, which was entitled, Orthodoxy, How Big a Tent. It was exactly about this theme, issues of achdus within the unfortunately fractured frum community, let alone achdus in the general Jewish community. And the panelist was an all-star group. The first speaker was someone who's known and dear to us all, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, the Abezin of the RCA, and a frequent visitor of Shomrei Emunah. Second speaker was Rav Herschel Schechter. The third speaker was Mari Varabi, Rav Michal Rosenzweig. And the fourth speaker was Mari Varabi, Rav Mordechai Willig. All of them said slightly different things. And all four of them independently anchored their remarks in this tshuva of the Netziv. Not that many tshuvas have such a long and lasting and profound impact in a given topic. But when it comes to understanding the inner dynamics of the way a Jewish world should work in Achdus, this is the seminal, significant source. Tucked away in that tshuva is the following paragraph. And I'll read it inside with you because I think it's powerful and it's kedai. V'hine, he says, Hama'arich, the editor of this journal, Horu, V'hogu Eitza, this person has suggested the following idea, Lios Nishmar Midor Zeh, Liparei Zeh Mizeh Legamrei. The real frum people should isolate themselves from everybody else. Kumo Shenifrad Avraham Melot. That's making your point. Right, that's extreme. So the Netziv responds, how terrible this is. And he says about this Eitza, going on to the next line, Kosha Kacharvos Laguf Ha'uma V'Kiyuma. How should I paraphrase? This would be a terrible body blow and destruction to the body of our nation. After all, Hein B'Shasha Hayinu Bartzeinu HaKadosha Uber Shusaseinu. Needless to say, or naniach, when we were in our own land and our own sovereignty, kemat b'bayis sheni netam aretz v'charav habayis v'gol Yisrael b'sibas machlokes haprushim imat sadukim. What was the cause? What started everything? The tremendous infighting that was existing then among the various communities, including the sadukim and the prushim. V'gamal said machmas sinas chinam, and not only that, it catapulted. Again, this is him l'shitaso. That the sinas chinam led here by shvichas damim, masha'enu min adin. There was all sorts of terrible and illegitimate murder. Now I'm giving you the underlying part. So again, the Netziv, l'shitaso, what does that mean? Hainu? B'sha'a shara parush, she'echad mekel be'ezadavar. It's the new dirty word, akula. You saw somebody using akula. Even though he really was an Erlich Hayid, a Tayyurudik Hayid, a frum person, he wasn't a Tzaduki at all. Elos Aveira. But in that case, maybe he took a kula too far. Maybe even you'll say he did an individual Aveira. Yikomakom, nevertheless, Machmas Sinaschinim, because of the hatred and the intolerance in his heart, Hayashofto the Tzaduki. He decided, not, it's not just that he did one Aveira, one kula. He is illegitimate. He is a tzaduki, and therefore the halach is shamaridin also. We can kill him. Umizen israbesh vichazdamim beheter, a phrase we saw before. And this was people telling themselves it was mutter to kill, ulashem mitzvah betaos, making this grave and tragic mistake. And then what does he say here? You don't often see this in tshuvas. Ukfar rimez alzeh betorah, kimavuer. What are those two abbreviations? Bahamek davar, baharchev davar. The two sources in Chumash, which we just saw on the preceding page. So first of all, from the academic, just Torah perspective, we have now a fourth source, which, again, it's taking me koach lapoal. It's not just a perish on Chumash. The Netziv is not just dvarfing avek, it's not just theoretical. This is, he's pasking in a real life shaila, which is much bigger than a basar b'cholov shaila. This is the whole essence of the European frum community. What should its nature be? The Netziv is paskening, if you will, giving strong opinions about how the community should be structured based on his understanding that he outlined in Chumash of the sin of sinas chinam, which again is a tremendous chiddush. But he believed it and he paskened like this. So in and of itself, though we have this fourth source, it's itself, we walk away with a more complete picture of the Shita of the Netziv. But what is the most astounding, and I think chilling for all of us, is his conclusion of this paragraph. I mean, the last underlying section. The Kol Zeh, he says, all of this which I've just described that happened in the generation of the second Churban, Eino rochuk min hadas lahagia chas v'sholom be'ez kazos. Wow. It is not far-fetched, said the Netziv, that if these machzikei hadas will follow in this suggested plan, such religious intolerance, it's conceivable and believable to the Netziv, it could lead ad kerekach to the murder and destruction that took place during the time of the second Chorban. Asher al pi ro'os einai, echad mimachzikei hadas, yidamer yidmeh shaploni enu misnahai gal pi darka boros asem vishpetenu l'minus. People have already witnessed this. It's happening, says the Netziv. It's starting already. We have to nip it in the bud, because if we don't, it will accumulate, it will snowball, and it will lead to the Shvichas Damim, which the Netziv suggests was really ultimately what happened even in the Zman of the second Churban. The source that you have underneath that is from a fantastic collection on Torah and on holidays called the Tura Torah. Chelek Zayin, the seventh volume of this Sefer, is on holidays, including Tisha B'Av, in the 3 weeks. And there it has a story where they asked the Netziv the question, what's going on, why is that Sinas Chinam? After all, the Tzedukim weren't for him, were you allowed to hate him? And then there it quotes the answer the Netziv gave, which is consistent with the four sources we've just seen. As I alluded to, I believe there's a fifth source in Merome Sada as well. So in sum, we have seen the Gemara, Sinas Chinam, we're familiar with, three different understandings. The Yerushalmi and the Medrash quoted by Rabbi Foyer, Pashuto Kamashmo, they hated each other like two enemies hate each other. Like apparently the host and Bar Kamsa hated each other. The second approach of Janis and Eibshitz, people were disrespectful and hated the Talmid HaChachamim and the Rabbonim. That led to a breakdown in society in its own right. And then we have this new Shita, this unbelievable, amazing tour de force in four different sources, perhaps five, of the Netziv. Religious intolerance. Years and years ago, I believe it was Tisha B'Av 1992, someone gave me a copy of a tape. It was from Rabbi Franz Shalita. And he quoted just the first Netziv that we saw, the Psicha, the Sefer Bereishis. And the whole theme of that drasha was religious intolerance and how terrible it is. I'll give you an example of a story he mentioned that he witnessed with his own eyes. He was in Eretz Yisrael, and he was at a makolet. And in front of him were two Hasidisha boys, one older brother, one younger brother. So the younger brother did, as many younger brothers' children would, he's looking at the counter. They went to go get milk for their mother. But you can't just go get milk. What's behind the counter? Candy. So the little brother wanted a particular candy. And the older brother starts screaming at him, names, Dutrev, Dutrev, Dutrev! And quickly they scurried, they paid their bill, they left the makolet. Rabbi Franz, what did he do? I want that one. He wanted to see what was the candy. And I still remember this because I was driving, listening to the tape on Tisha B'Av afternoon. It had two hashkachas. It didn't have their hashkacha. They don't have to eat it. If it doesn't have their chassidish hashkacha, why should they eat it? They don't have to eat it. But is it treif? Zu treif? And let's just be clear. This machala, which clearly didn't just exist in the time of the Netziv, it still exists not only in our own time and day, in our own city, in our own shul. It's a machala for all of Klal Yisrael, and it is not uniquely the province of any part of the Frum community. That story is with two chassidim. I'll give you other stories. Right, the Netziv started tshuva with Yeminim, Smolim, and Emtsaim. I don't think the religious intolerance is the unique province of any one of the three. There are people in all three communities who are tolerant, and understanding, and there are people in all three who are intolerant. It's a tremendous, tremendous machala. According to the Netziv, that was the sinas chinam of the second Chorban. So I want to conclude by mentioning to you the following new idea, a new insight, which I hope I was zocha b'tziyata d'shmaya to come to just this year. I came across the following Vilna Gaon. The Gaon is in a very esoteric and hard to find source, and I thank, as I alluded to before, Moshe Shapiro from the Yeshiva University Library for first finding the source and then faxing it to me. The reason that the copy is so poor for you on your sheet, I apologize, because the original is a very poor typeset, and then it was faxed to me, and then it was Xeroxed to you. It comes from the Vilna Gaon in his Bir Agados, Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Now, in Baltimore, you should know, what is that more well known as? The Juggler and the King. That's the first, that's not the entire Juggler and the King, but the first Juggler and the part of that book, which is, of course, Rav Aaron Feldman's expansion and elucidation of the Vilna Gaon, as commentary on a number of the famous, extraordinary agados of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So I thought I was thrilled. I thought I'd go look up the Juggler and the King, it would be there. This is not one of the ones Rabbi Feldman discusses, which is why I needed to get help from the outside. But in that, it's that same little pamphlet. If you look in the beginning of the introduction to that book, Rabbi Feldman talks about how he found the Sefer and it was a gem, and et cetera, how that eventually led to his publication of The Juggler and the King. Here you have the Vilna Gaon creating a new idea, which I believe is connected to the Netziv, if you'll, we'll see shortly, understanding Sinas Chinam. He connects it to a one-liner from the Gemara, which we read quickly, but we'll make reference to again as it becomes relevant. If you look at the bracketed part, he's quoting, he's working off of the text in our Gemara, where the Gemara had said at the end that the first Churban, they knew their Aveira, and therefore their end was also revealed, which is why the second Beis Mikdash was rebuilt. As opposed to the second generation of the Churban Bayis Sheni, they didn't know their Aveira was hidden, and therefore so is the time for the Geula hidden from them. V'hatam, he says, end of the first line, the Vilna Gaon, I'm reading, try to follow along with me. V'hatam, ki harishonim, hoyu ma'aseihim hatovim tmunim. In the first generation, listen, they may have done Gilei Raya, Shfichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah, but they probably did lots of mitzvahs also. Those mitzvahs, those good things that they did during the time of the first Korban, those Ma'asim Tovim, were Tmunim, which I understand to mean they were embedded. That was part of their depth. That was who they were. Avonoseihem Gluyim, right? That's he's working off the Gemara. It doesn't just mean they were public. It means that wasn't really who they were. Very often you have a good person who does an Aveira. In that case, the Aveiras were the big three. But says the Vilna Gaon, they really were, who were they really? Their good deeds. That was Tmunim. The Aveiros, as terrible as they were, that wasn't who they really were. That was Gluyim. That was more external or superficial. As opposed to Kilibam Hayatov, because their heart was really in the right place. They were really good people. Va'achronim, the generation of the second Churban, Lehefech. They were just the opposite. So ponder what that means. Again, the Gemara has just described for us that in the second generation, they were Torah, mitzvahs, gemilas chasadim, but sinas chinam. Says the Vilna Gaon, a very different shot. They were lehefech. What does that mean? That all of the good deeds that they did, Torah, mitzvahs, gemilas chasadim, right, the parallel text from the Yerushalmi, maestros, kol midos tovos, that was gluyim, that was superficial, that was external. They happened to do good things. But their averos, that of the sinas chinam, that was tmunim, that was who they were in their depths. And the Gemara told us which one is worse. The second one, why? Quoting the famous Gemara from Sanhedrin, V'rachmana liba boi. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants your heart. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants you to be real. He wants you to be sincere. He continues, if you'll skip, he quotes the Gemara I had read to you before. This is the text I referred to, that after mentioning the second Churban, the Gemara had a line that said, Rishayim Elu, which I told you that the Achronim point out is really a textual error. It should have been above. It's commenting on the first Churban, that they were evil, but they were Talu Bitchonam, right? They had trust, they had Bitachon, as we call it, in Hashem. So working off of that, the Gaon concludes, I'm reading the next underlined part, Nimsa, Ki ma'aseihem ra ma'od mekulam. The first Churban, they were, did the worst of Averis. But Yoharag v'al Yavor. Averos, Hachamuros, Shebetorah. They did the worst Averos, the big three. But nevertheless, V'libam hayatov ma'od. Could you imagine such a statement? People could be involved in those averos to the extent that it brings down the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gaon can say they were good people. It didn't just mean nice, he means good in the spiritual, ruchniistic sense. They were good people, they meant well. But ma'od, and very good, shemailes ha-bitochon al-kulam. Why? They had bitochon. And here the Gaon understands, not bitochon, I don't think, in just a limited sense of, however it's defined, I don't mean that that's a simple question, how to define bitochon. There are svarim written on how to define bitochon. But trusting in God, that Hashem has his, you know, our best interest at heart, however you want to call bitochon, the Gaon doesn't just understand it to mean that. He means that if you live with bitochon, it means you live with God in your heart. You live with God in your life. You're fundamentally a good person. That's who you really are in your heart. It happens to be, lekoach lepoel, when it comes time to put it into action, you're not so good. And that counts. That's why there's a churban. As some explain, in light of this Gaon, they thought that the bitochon they had was enough. It didn't matter the averus that they did, because we believe. And we see that's not correct. That's true. But the Gaon says, really, 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 in their heart of hearts, they were good people. So what's the implication for us? We have been spent the last half an hour thinking about the generation of the second Churban. What is the Gaon saying was the Avera of the second Churban? For those who are here and remember, I believe what he's getting at is exactly the second part of this past year's Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. Superficiality. Fakerai. Looking over our shoulder from kite. It's not who we are. It's not emestic. It's doing it because we happen to do it. Doing it because other people want to see it. Some may remember 2 years ago, right before the end of Rosh Hashanah, right after we came back from Tashlich, I quoted to you an incredible mimer of Rav Huttner Zatzal, where he defined the categories of tzaddikim, beinunim, and rasha'im in a very similar vein. It's about your commitment. Are you committed to good? You're a tzaddik. Committed to bad? You're a rasha. And perhaps, as Rav Huttner said, the worst, someone with no commitments, is a beinoni. And Rav Huttner had the amazing statement, I read it here from the pulpit, you could be somebody with rubo avonos, with more averus than mitzvahs, but from Rav Huttner's perspective, you could be considered, in light of this Gemara, that famous Gemara, tzaddik. And you could have rubo mitzvos and be nikra rasha. So if you put the Gaon and Rav Huttner together, the rubo avonos, shenikra tzaddik, who was that? The generation of the first Churban. And the generation of the second Churban was rubo zchuyos. The Gemara said they did all the good things. And they were rasha gomor, because as the Gaon says, in their heart of hearts, they were fake. They were superficial. It wasn't emistic of frumkeit. So who elaborates on this? The great Sefer by Rav Chaim Friedlander Zatzal, the Mashkiach Aponovich, the Sifsei Chaim. I'll just give a credit, I think I may have mentioned this last year. My first exposure to the Sifsei Chaim, my first time I ever heard of him or the Sefer, was 5, 6, 7 years ago, watching a tape of Rabbi Weinreb sitting in this chair when he quoted this Sefer, Sifsei Chaim. And I thanked him very much because I went out right after the Tisha B'Av and bought the Sefer. And especially and for many holidays, but especially for Tisha B'Av, I've used it every year since then. I came across an article now, for the first time this year, who expounds upon this idea and confirms our suspicions of what the Gaon is driving at. Just to read two more sentences, and then we'll be done, and we'll take a little break. Dor Mikdash HaRishon Omnam Avru Al Gimel Averis Chamuros Shehein B'Yaharik Val Yavor Im Kol Zos. Nevertheless, despite all the Averis they did, B'Pnimiyusam, in their insides, in their Kishkas, Hayu Chadure Bitochon Ve'emuna B'Hashem. They were sincere, righteous people. They were weak. They made mistakes. B'Dor Mikdashani, in the generation of the second Churban, Af Al-Af Shahayu Asukin B'Torah V'Mitzvah, as the Gemara told us, they were very righteous, so it appeared. Aval Talmudam V'Kiyam HaMitzvahs Hayu Chitzoniim Bilvad. I have a word for that. Superficial. It wasn't who they really were. Bo B'Zman Shechete'ehem Novu Mipnimiyusam. As opposed to the Averos that they did, chief among them, Sinas Chinam, that wasn't superficial, that was who they really were. That came from their Kishkas. Shayushkuim the Sinas Chinam. They were immersed in Sinas Chinam. Hanovas ka'amor mechusar amono bitachon. So I'll end with the following ha'ara. In my opinion, if you think about it, There is a very profound connection between these two last themes that we've discussed. Or to put it this way, the Gra leads to the Netziv. The Gra leads to the Netziv. Think about it. And there could be other reasons that you could become religiously intolerant, as the Netziv describes it. There are other reasons. But a chief reason, and I've seen it many times with my own eyes, the people who are the most kanaish in the intolerant sense, the one who of all 18 or 19 brachas in Shmoneh Esrei, the one with the most kavanah, if you will, is Vilam Al Shinim. It's about everybody else. Everyone else is doing wrong. More often than not, the people who fall prey to that terrible machala are the people who have the more deep machala of the Gaon. They're people whose frumkeit, whatever it is superficial. The more substantive a person is, the more sincere a person is, the more they're in touch with the reality, and I don't just mean this in the literal sense, but even in the broader sense, of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Someone who learns a sugya knows that there are different ways to come out on a sugya. Someone who really is holding and learning knows, and can and love a Jew even if they make a mistake. The more sincere, the more substantive, the more real, the less likely, again, there's no guarantees, of course, but as a rule, the less likely they are to be azah intolerant the way the Netziv described it. There's a direct connection, and I've seen it countless times. The more superficial, very often, the more intolerant. The more people who are worried about chitzonius, the more they're willing to passel everybody else. The substantive people, doesn't mean they have to agree on everything. There are plenty of machlokesim l'shem shemayim in the world. But they have more genuine respect for other substantive people. They can see the other side because they're substantive people. They're holding in Torah. They're holding in learning. That's what is, as the Gra said, noveya mipnim yusam. That's who they really are. Whatever their external shitas are, they really are these substantive people. I think what I'm saying is emes, and I think it's certainly worth thinking about on Tisha B'Av. We mentioned Tisha B'Av is the day of tshuva. Part of that tshuva is rectifying the averus, not only that we're doing, but the averus that led to the Churban. So kamdumani, that it's not exactly a leap to say that the Gra is still a problem today, that the Netziv is still a problem in our generation, and that very often there's a connection between the two. It's certainly worthy of our reflection to the extent that we can be honest with ourselves. On many levels, all of us in one way or another are probably guilty of one or both of these problems. And we certainly know people who are very, unfortunately, but our focus should not be on what everybody else does wrong. Our focus should be on what we do wrong. How each in our own lives, as our own community, are we, as the Gra said, superficial in our, who are we really? Are we really the good things that we do or the bad things that we do? And as the Netziv so eloquently and repeatedly mentioned, do we look at people who have a little frumkeit differently than us, treif, puzzle, or do we have a little legitimate tolerance in the spirit of Elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim? We'll take a minute or two break and then we'll begin directly with the kinos. Am I the only one who's schwitzing up here? You hot? No? Yes, you know. Now we're in a wool suit. How can you say this? First of all, you think of how they say to this is not a nice thing to say. I know the person.